הנה טובו מעניי, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב, הנה מה טוב, לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
I am out of town this weekend, everybody. However, we have a very special guest speaker for you. And honestly, guest is not the right word because he is mishpacha. Dr. Bruce Tucker was a member here at Beth Hillel for many years. And so he is truly mishpacha. And after serving here at Beth Hillel for many years, we sent him out with our blessings to lead Congregation Beth Judah in Ormond Beach, Florida. That's in the Daytona Beach area. He is very learned with both his PhD and a great deal of experience. He's well-known in the Messianic movement, respected, teaches at conferences, seminars, retreats, and he and his wife both are very learned and scholars, truly. And they lead Congregation Beth Judah down there in Ormond Beach, where some of our own mishpacha have moved. You know, it's a very Jewish thing to do, is to move south for the winter. And so in any case, he's a real blessing, and he always has such a wonderful word to share with us. So with that, let's give him a big welcome home to Rabbi Dr. Bruce Tucker, everybody. Yes.
Shabbat shalom. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 19. Thank you, Rabbi Kevin, for that wonderful, warm welcome. It always feels like home when I'm here. And when they told me that Rabbi Kevin had a video welcome, I got a little scared, because usually he'll just let the service leader do that. So I didn't know if he was going to try to tell some secret or what that might be. But we continue to pray for Rabbi Kevin and the work that he has done, is doing, and will do in our movement and in the world. This is a last days movement, and we're a part of it. We just keep on moving. Who's ready for Shabbat? Tell you what, let's give the Lord praise for Shabbat. Amen. I want to get right into our study tonight in the interest of time and all the things that we want to do together. Our parsha this week is Kedushim, and it means holy ones. I'm going to ask a question this week as we get started in our study. How do we find rest in God's holiness? We are here on Shabbat, and yet Shabbat is the call to rest. It's a two-stage process. It's not really complicated as it was started in Genesis. We cease from work, step one, and we rest. So look at your neighbor and say, Mazel Tov, you got step one down good. The second part, resting, is the Lord's work, is what he does for us. Why is important to think about the Shabbat as a time to rest in God's holiness? How do we find rest in God's holiness? And this is just something tonight in the studying, in the preparation, that I simply want to enjoy Shabbat with you tonight. You know, so much of the teaching that I do is because I want folks to step, we want to move forward, we want to get forward. So a lot of what I'll do might talk about, well, what do we do tomorrow morning, and what do we do this week, and what are the steps that we can take, and what is it that makes our lives better, our careers better, our jobs better, what our families better, our houses better, our finances better, what is it that does all of that? But I want to tell you something tonight. I just want to enjoy Shabbat with you and receive the blessing of what we're doing tonight. And I want you to be blessed because you have done step one. You have ceased from work. But the rest part is not your work. The rest part is God's work. So we're going to simply enjoy the Shabbat tonight. Why is it so important to reach for more in the Shabbat? Not just in what we'll do Sunday morning, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, but why is it important to reach for more in the Shabbat? The world is in a place where it's becoming increasingly a world without faith, a world without hope, a world without love. We're in here tonight, but it may be a good thing to say, well, golly, my faith is a little challenged tonight. My hope is being a little challenged tonight. My love is being a little challenged tonight. So we understand what the world goes through because we often experience it on Sunday through Friday. But the wonderful thing about Friday afternoon is now it's Shabbat. We probably are tired. Our faith may be a little bit worn out this week by now. Our hope may be a little bit diminished. Our love may be just kind of not what we really want it to be, but that's the very reason for Shabbat. We're here tonight because we're doing something different. The world is not trying to do much different to change the situation that it's in. It's like the fellow that I heard from a little while ago. He said, I went to the doctor and I told the doctor that I broke my leg in 3 different places. And the doctor said to me, well, stop going to those places. We've got to learn to do things differently. And isn't that why we're here tonight? What's the context of where Israel is? In the Parsha, where we are in the Torah cycle, Israel has now been free from Egypt's slavery for an entire year. They have been building together. They've had probably the best months of unity that they have ever had, maybe have had even until this day. They've been learning from God. They've been with God. You know that the Megillah, the scroll that we read during Passover is the Song of Solomon because it celebrates the intimacy that God has with his people because he calls them aside. He calls them out and then he calls them aside. And then he wants to be intimate with them and share with them and understand what love really is. And it's in this place where after he called them, he cared for them. He took care of them. He consecrated them. He set them apart. And then they set others apart to lead them. And the Lord wants us to always be reaching for more. And even though my normal style would be, well, okay, how can we reach for more on Sunday morning, Tuesday morning, and Thursday morning? I just really sense tonight the Lord that wants us to reach for more of the Shabbat. He wants us to reach for more of this gift that he has for us, this wonderful time of apartness and intimacy that we have. So we continually reach for more. But it's a different kind of more than the world knows. Something happened in our world in the last 110 years or so. I picked up a book a while back when I was visiting my daughter in Boston at the Havard bookstore. Look at your neighbor and say, where's Havard? Look at your other neighbor and it says, where Rabbi Bruce goes to buy books. I only do it when I drive because I have to bring them all back. But one of those books was about Dale Carnegie. How many of you know who Dale Carnegie is? Maybe your parents or grandparents took that course on how to win friends and influence people, which was that blockbuster book that it has literally changed a generation of what we are doing. And what made Dale Carnegie so successful, the title of the book is Self-Messiah. In other words, the Messiah of self. We lead ourselves into the places that we go. And he had some wonderful things to say. But what he really promoted and began to work in our world and our generation was really what shifted the whole idea of marketing. Marketing and public relations and the way that we get things out. What happened in that shift, and if you really study that shift in the early 1900s, companies would market their goods to people based on how long those goods last. So it was, you buy this once, and it's going to last for a very, very, very long time. And you look at the ads at that time, it's like, if you buy this plow, it's going to last you for 50 years. If you buy this whatever it is, it's going to last you a very, very long time. So it was a marketing based on dependability. But what happened after the 1920s, where there was just a throwing off of all of the things of the past that would restrain people? The whole country, the whole world shifted from a marketing of dependability to the marketing of desire. In fact, in Dale Carnegie's whole idea on sales, he says the first thing that you need to do in sales, he said, is to elevate a desire within the person you're talking with. Elevate their desire. Find some way so that they have such a desire that they're not satisfied with what they have. And I think an ultimate part of that is maybe one of the commercials that Spectrum, which I have my internet and my phones with Spectrum, is that they've come out with this ad now that says you can upgrade any time you want. You can upgrade to another new phone every day if you want, every week if you want. And so what's happening in the world of marketing for those students of marketing is that we went from trying to appeal to people's desire for dependability and longevity, and the world began to appeal to people's desire for something new, something more. Elevate their desire and then persuade them that they have to have that new thing. It didn't work. It's not good enough to have a telephone that can last 5 years. You can get a new phone every day if you want. It's this elevating of desires that we have. Well, what the Lord wants to speak to us tonight on the Shabbat, after all of our striving on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and a lot of us are in marketing, a lot of us are in business, is that God has a different kind of more for us tonight. It is a dependable kind of more. And so the Lord wants us to reach for more, but it's not the more of the marketeers that we want tonight. It's the more of the Shabbat that He has for us at this very, very moment in time. So we're reaching for the more of God's holiness tonight. We need more of God's holiness tonight. Meditate upon God's holiness. Well, what does that really mean? When we reach for more of God's holiness, that's why our posture is so important. In chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "And Adonai spoke to Moses, and he said, speak to all the congregation of Bnei Israel, and tell them, you shall be Kedeshim." I'm reading from the Tree of Life version. "You shall be Kedeshim, holy ones, for I, Adonai, your God, am holy. You will be holy because I am holy. Each of you is to respect his mother and his father and to keep my Shabbatot. I am Adonai, your God." The word holy, kadosh, both in its noun form, its verb form, its participial forms, all of its forms. The root of holy simply means set apart. I'm set apart, God says. I'm dedicated, God says. I am holy, simply meaning I have it all together and I am dedicated to you. He talks, and it's interesting that he doesn't start this out with Shabbat. He starts it out with the people, at least in God's design, who are the most devoted to you. So honor your father and your mother. In God's design, your father and your mother was where you learned faith, and hope and love. You learned that you could be sustained in life and move forward. And he wants us to understand that when we look for more of God's holiness, we're not doing that. We are not doing that by being holy. We are doing that by ceasing and resting on Shabbat. When we understand what the holiness of God is, his commitments, his dedications, who he is and what he does to carry those things out for you and for me, then that overflows into our being holy. We cannot be holy in order to experience rest from God. We rest in God when we understand that he is the Holy One, that the holiness begins with him. The set-apartness begins with him. The dedication begins with him. And so we come together on this Shabbat, this Erev Shabbat, not to meditate on what we need to do, but we come together on this Erev Shabbat to meditate upon what he has done for us and what he is doing and what he will do. He is holy. And so he gives us three holy life experiences to draw upon because he's the initiator of these experiences. In verses 3 and 4, we understand that he is the initiator of hope in our lives. He says in verse 3 again, each of you is to respect his mother and his father and to keep my Shabbatot. I am Adonai your God. Do not turn to idols or make gods for yourselves, for I am Adonai. He's saying, I'm watching over you. When he says that we are to keep my Shabbatot, he's not talking about building up Shabbat. We don't build Shabbat. Shabbat builds us. That he says we're watching, when we watch over the Shabbat, we only watch over the Shabbat because we understand that it's in the Shabbat we become confident that God is watching over us. So he's the initiator of hope. He's also the initiator of faith. In verse 5, he says, when you bring a sacrifice of fellowship, offerings to Adonai, you are to offer it so that you may be accepted. It is to be eaten the same day you offer it, not and the next day. But if anything remains until the third day, it's to be burned with fire. What God is saying is, when I'm present, get all you can. When I am present, get everything that you can. I am the initiator of your faith. I'm the initiator of your hope. And when we fellowship with him together, he gives us all that he has for us. And then when we go to verse 9, we understand that God is also the initiator of love. What a beautiful set of verses which were entirely unknown in the ancient world. When you reap the harvest of your land, you are not to reap to the very corners of your field, nor are you to gather the gleanings of your harvest. You are not to pick the remnants of your harvest of your vineyard, nor are you to gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. Instead, you are to leave them for the poor, leave them for the outsider. I am Adonai your God. We only understand these and have the joy of these when we understand that this is exactly what he has done for us. He is the one who has initiated our hope. He's watched over us. By his grace and his mercy, we came to the place where we could confess him as our Lord. He is the initiator of our faith. How do we get faith? We get faith by fellowship with God. We get faith by being with him. And everything he does is so that we may fellowship with him because he first came to fellowship with us. We understand that he's the initiator of love. We love because he first loved us. And on this Shabbat, we come back to this tonight and we are reminded that God is the one who has brought us to this place. God is the one who has given us the holiness of this Shabbat, not because we don't make the Shabbat holy. The Shabbat is holy, and we experience this holiness that we have together. So why is this important? He knows how to overcome. When we come to the Shabbat, we're often tired. We've got these gaps in our work. We've got these gaps in our lives. We've got these gaps in our relationships. But God gives us a faith and a hope and a love that overcomes the gaps in our lives and the gaps in our relationships that sometimes just drive us crazy. They just drive us nuts. Let's go to chapter 19, verse 15, because even as our service leader read it tonight, this is the context of a very important part of liturgy. We say it every week, Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But the context of that is very, very challenging, and we understand that it's only God that enables us to do that. These were broken people. Israel was broken. Egypt was broken. The world was broken. So when the Lord speaks to Israel, He talks about a love that overcomes, a love that overcomes everything. So He begins to talk about this justice. He says, you are to do no injustice in judgment. You are not to be partial toward the poor, nor show favoritism toward the great. But you are to judge your neighbor with fairness. You are not to go up and down as a talebearer among your people. You are not to endanger the life of your neighbor. I'm Adonai. I'm not like that. I don't do that. He says, you're not to hate your brother in your heart. Instead, you are to firmly rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You're not to take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but, and that doesn't often show up in our liturgies. He gave all of these things about all of these people who just drive us nuts. You know, we want to judge our neighbor. We want to hate them. We want to tell everybody the wrong, despicable things that they do. We want to get back at them. You know, we want to do all of these things. But the Lord says, vengeance is mine. I'll take care of this gap that causes you so much problem right now. I want you to receive my love tonight. He did not talk about us. He did not judge us and leave us out in the cold. He did not hate us. He didn't tell everybody all the dirty little secrets that Bruce Tucker has done in his life. Yes, I ran a red light today. Didn't even know it until I got through it. I hope my wife's not watching Friday night. And the sun was so bright in my eyes, and I realized on the other side, as I was going through wherever I was, that there was a truck on the other side just stopping there. And I thought, uh-oh, did I go through that red light? Sure enough, in my rearview mirror, that light was as red as it could be. Thank you, Lord. You know, the Lord calls us. He's gonna take care of the places where there's been injustice in your life. He's going to take care of the people who caused harm in your life. He is going to fill all those gaps. But if we spend all of our time ruminating, if we spend all of our time trying to fix the things, I want more justice for that person. I want that person to get more and more and more of what I want them to have. And the Lord is saying, let me take care of that. And I am going to take care of it, He says. Tonight, we just rest in His Shabbat. I am Adonai. Faith and hope and love, they come by resting in God. He fills the gaps in all of the human relationships. And this is his his ultimate way of doing all these things. And he will make them right, because sometimes we don't often understand the whole situation that he's dealing with in people's lives. I'll always remember when we took our daughters to Maine one year, where I'm from, and we had a big birthday party for them in my cousin Kendrick's barn. And, you know, they were all there. It was really the first time that a lot of my family had met my daughters. And, you know, we wanted to put on a good impression and all that kind of thing. So we gave our daughters two envelopes. And so our younger daughter opened hers, and there were five $1 bills in that envelope that they could use to spend the next day in Maine. And so our older daughter, I think she was 5 or 6 at the time, she opened her envelope, and there was a shiny $5 bill. She stomped her foot. She swung around in front of all the family members. She threw the card down. She threw that shiny $5 bill down, and she ran off. She didn't understand that one $5 bill has the same value as five $1 bills. All she knew is that her younger sister got 4 more bills than she got. The Lord's going to take care of all these things in our lives, beloved. And when we come to the end of the parsha in chapter 20, verse 26, it just says very easily and clearly, he says, "You are to be holy to me. For I am Adonai, for I, Adonai, am holy, and I have set you apart. I have set you apart. I have a purpose for you. I've made you holy," he says to the people of Israel and to those peoples who came out with Israel, "so that you may know," so that you would be mine. I've set you apart tonight. You have come here tonight. The Lord wants you to know that you're his treasured possession. He has set you apart for an experience in your life that the rest of the world will never know. And it begins with this idea that you belong to me. I'm holy to you. I'm devoted to you. I have a plan for you. I have a future for you. I'm not going to do the things that are going to destroy you, that you fear are going to happen in your life. I'm going to be the one who brings you through those things that other people may do. Let us say amen. Let's go to Amos. Let's go to Amos. Chapter 9. This set apart and this dedicated faith and hope and love, we find confidence. Our faith and our hope and our love find confidence in God's ability to rebuild and restore those who want to be like him. The Shabbat is not for thinking about or talking about who we are or what we are like. The Shabbat is about thinking about and talking about who he is and what he is like and what he's holy and devoted to. And he's devoted to us tonight. And sometimes we blow it. Sometimes we don't get there. And that's where Israel was. And the message of Amos is a scathing message to not do things the way the world does them. But he says, "I'm going to rebuild you and I'm going to restore you." Oh, what a powerful, Bob, what a powerful song we ended with there tonight. Let's go ahead and look at verse 11. He says, "In that day, I will raise up David's fallen sukkah. I will restore its breaches. I will raise up its ruins. I will rebuild it as in days of old, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations called by my name." It's a declaration of Adonai, the one who will do this. He is holy. You are holy. There is no one like you. "Behold, the days are soon coming," as a declaration of Adonai, "though the one who plows the ground is going to overtake the one reaping the fruit." There's going to be so much. "The one treading grapes is going to overtake the one sowing seed." There is so much. We won't have time to process all the harvest we've had before it's time to plant a brand new harvest. The mountains and the hills will drip sweet wine, and all the hills will melt over. Yes, I will restore the captivity of the people of Israel. I will restore them from captivity is what that means. They will rebuild desolated cities and dwell with them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will also make gardens and eat their fruit. Yes, I will plant them on their land, and they will never again be plucked up out of their land that I have given to them. Adonai, your God, has said it. From the river to the sea, Israel will be free. Amen. And when Israel is free to do all that God enables Israel to do, every nation on the world will be blessed beyond its expectations. God fulfills faith and hope and love for Israel. There's a sense in which you have to be aware of Israel's history and Israel's life and the Jewish people and the Jewish life. You have to understand the difficulties that Israel has gone through. When the Prime Minister of Israel said this week, in response to reports that the United States was going to withhold weapons until Israel does what the United States wants Israel to do, the Prime Minister says, if we have to fight, we'll fight with our fingernails. One of the greatest statements I've ever heard a leader say. Because God is our God and God is with us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. The Torah and the prophet and the writings always lead us to the Messiah. So how does Yeshua fit in with all of this? Yeshua is our Messiah, upholds, fulfills, and he continues to complete this Torah of God being holy and set apart and dedicated to us first so that we can follow him. We want to be like him. You may have never had anyone like that in your life who loved you first, who was faithful to you first, who was the one who put hope in your life. You may never have had those experiences, but tonight on this Shabbat, we're celebrating the God who is our Father, who first loves us, who first fellowships with us so that we trust him in faith, who first gives us hope, because he is the God of hope. He speaks to us tonight, and the letter to the Corinthians, Corinth was a city that was fragmented, it was divided, it was chaotic. But what the message was to the cities of Corinth and all of our cities as well is that God is the only one. He is the one who does this. He's the one that's going to bring the world together. Our governments, our alliances, we are not going to bring peace to this world. We are to participate in that peace, just like we are to work on Sunday morning. It's a good thing. We are to participate in these things, but we have to get beyond this idea that we are the ones who are going to bring the kingdom of God. God is going to bring the kingdom of God. And he speaks to the city of Corinth, and he wants us to understand, he wants Corinth and us to understand that it's Yeshua's holy love that leads us to our rest. So he tells them, get rid of the distractions. Get rid of the idols, that is the things that you think you have to have or do in order to have peace. He said, I want you to get rid of those kinds of powers of these things, and I want you to rest in me. Now concerning idol sacrifices, distractions, we know that we all have knowledge. AI puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone thinks he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. We need less artificial intelligence and more Adonai intelligence. Therefore, concerning the eating of idol sacrifices, we know that an idol is nothing to the world, and that there is no God but one, Shema Yisrael. Adonai Anohenu, Adonai. There's only one God. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on the earth, indeed there are many gods and many lords that people have. Yet for us, there is one God, there's one source, the Father from whom are all things, and we exist for Him. There's one Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, one leader, Yeshua the Messiah, through whom are all things, and we exist through Him. Wow. When we come together tonight on this Shabbat and rest in the holiness, God's holy set apart determination that you're going to know that He is the source of your life. In Yeshua's absolute determination that you're going to know that when you follow Him, you will get through the things that you don't understand. We exist for the Father and through the Son. It's everything tonight. We bring it all together tonight. Here we are. Mazel tov. You didn't take another 2 hours of your life just to make that extra call, just to raise that other person's desire. You came tonight because God wants you to be reminded that He is your source in life and He is your Savior in life. You exist for Him. You don't exist for the money. You don't exist for the work. You don't exist for anything else. You exist for God, and He loves you tonight. He's for you tonight. Tonight, we bring all the fractured, broken places of our lives, because sometimes we keep going to those places. But He reminds us tonight that I am the Lord your God. And I love you. 1 Corinthians 8 rolls into 1 Corinthians 13. We all know this one. I'm going to close with this tonight. Yeshua's love leads us to rest. But in this great love chapter, we understand that Yeshua's love leads us to reach for more of His love. If we want to summarize 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it really begins with days 1-6. It begins with the workaday world. It begins with the things that we do on Sunday through Monday, the things that we always have to do. If I speak, if I have, if I give, that sounds like Sunday through Friday. If I speak, if I have this, if I can say this, if I can get this message across, if I can have this, if I can earn this, if I can give of myself enough, then somebody will appreciate who I am and what I can do. But what He ultimately says is, He said, even though you speak, even though you have, even though you give your body to the flames, but do not understand the love of God, we have gained nothing this week. And so He gives us this time tonight to remember this. Yeshua's love opens a door for us. We're reminded tonight that we did not exist just for this past week. You did not exist just to speak, just to have, or just to give. Those are good things to do. We're going to start those things tomorrow morning again. They're wonderful things to do. But what happens tonight is that when we understand how much God is for us, that's His dedication. And when we understand how much He loves us, that's His devotion. When we understand those things tonight, then tomorrow we can overflow and speak. We can overflow and have. We can overflow and give ourselves to others, but we're going to be doing it knowing that we're not earning our lives. It's because we have been given our lives. And that's why we're here tonight. And I pray in the brokenness of your anxiety or in the brokenness of your anger, in the brokenness of your ambivalence, maybe even the brokenness of your agnosticism. There will not be another fact of love, a fact of knowledge that we try to find. It won't be a better way to speak. It won't be a better way to write. That what God really has for you tonight is love. We know in part and we prophesy in part. I'm going to ask the music team if you'll come, please. We know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put away childish things. For now, we see in a mirror dimly. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, even as I have been tonight fully known. But now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let us receive the great love of Almighty God. If there's anyone here tonight who does not know God as the source of your life, we must remember in Rabbi Yee's words, He is the Creator. We are the creation. He created you for a purpose. If you don't know the love of someone who loves you first, who gives you hope first, who wants to fellowship with you and give you faith and trust and confidence in life, then that's why Yeshua offered His body as a sacrifice. May He become your Messiah tonight. If you came in tonight weary, well, this is the place for you, because it's Shabbat. We're here tonight together with the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Father. We're simply going to pray by praising you tonight. Tomorrow morning, you are going to give us another step in our jobs and our careers. Tomorrow morning, you will give us another step in your word on how to solve our relationships and the gaps of injustice and all that kind of stuff. Tomorrow morning, Father, you're going to give us what we need. Thank you for 50 years of doing that in my life. But tonight, Father, it's just a night for praising you. Let's stand together. How many of you would say, I just want to know a holy God tonight? He's holy unto me. Is God really like this? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. He has a positive view of life for you. He's smiling upon you. He's got a hope and a future for you. He's interested in what you're interested in. My little 3-year-old granddaughter now, I finally learned that the best way to get her where she wants to go or I want to go is to enter her world. And I think that I'm so much smarter than a 3-year-old. How does she get me to spend all that money on her? Maybe I'm not as smart as I thought. But I meditate so much about the most joy I have right now is to enter into her world as she discovers I'm the same way with God, and He just loves watching me go. Be blessed tonight, beloved. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.